is At the Races with Steve Beck.
From Tucson, Arizona, the University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program Symposium on Racing and Gaming. We're back again, and not only are we back, we've got the West Coast co-host, Professor, Doctor. I guess it's too early to call Hammer officially Doctor, but Hammer, good morning.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, but welcome to Tucson.
Yeah, rainy Tucson.
Rainy Tucson.
Yeah. A thunderstorm. I've been up since about, it must have been 2:30. This is mountain time, right?
You play that East Coast, West Coast.
It's a mess.
It's 7 o'clock.
It's 7 o'clock here, but I slept fine. I went to bed early, but I fell asleep early. It has thunderstormed, and now it's passed, but it was rattling the windows here.
I'll tell you what.
Desert storm. Operation Desert Storm.
If you had a chance to look outside here, the weather in the desert here when it does rain is just unbelievable. Yeah. You go outside, the sun will start poking its head over the mountain, and you'll see the most unbelievable colors in the morning here. So it's unusual this time of year. I mean, it's not unusual this time of year to get a thunderstorm to go through here like that. It's not monsoon season, so there's not like the roads are going to wash out or anything. But it kind of settles everything down, and everything seems to come to life here in the morning in the desert.
Well, coming to life is a good analogy and segue into what happens here. The symposium really starts officially tomorrow, but coming to life is the display area and all the vendors, the various support apparati that is the underpinnings of the industry, whether it's simulcast elements, and right in front of us, looking forward to having Michael Dickinson right here. The Tapeta Footings is literally right in front of us, so I'm sure Michael will make an appearance.
Well, he's due in at 11:19. I know. I got the email. We're picking him up, and he'll be here. But so you got to remember, this is number 46. Pretty wild.
That's amazing.
Has been going on for 46 years. Started and is continually run by the Racetrack Industry Program here at University of Arizona, and they put on the show. And had been inviting people here to the desert for 46 years. And I can remember, we looked it up, 1987, however many years ago that is. I remember having to give a speech in front of the room. And I was the president of the RTIP program that time. And one of the deals was, you got picked to give a speech, which was good, and which was bad, you got picked to give a speech. But I remember it was really cool, and I remember going up and doing that and going, man, this is all right. But it's a wonderful opportunity for the students here to be able to mingle with people in the industry which they want to work. It doesn't happen too often, and it has really worked. I mean, there's a lot of us out there now when you look around, and I'm constantly finding out different people that I didn't even know. Phil D'Amato, he came through the program here. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
He goes, I went through the program. Really? But constantly, all the time, I'm finding people through here. So it's put on by the students. It's for the students. And so I got to play teacher here for a couple months. But I was telling the students here the other day, as one of our last meetings, this is it. To take advantage. I said, this is a squeaky wheel industry. Go up and bug people that you want to talk to. They'll talk to you. And so it's pretty cool. 46 years. Now, it hasn't always been here at Lowe's, but it was when Lowe's first remodeled or reopened when I was here, it came here. And it actually got, this is a big resort. And let me just say, anybody coming to Tucson any time of year, this is where you want to stay. It is the place to stay. It's up in the foothills. But it came here, and then in the 2000s, it got too big. It blew this place up, and we had to go to another place called La Paloma, west of La Paloma.
Right.
And It was good. It just didn't have that homey feel to it where you could, you know, run into everybody in the halls. And as it dwindled, at 2008 hit, and we started, it wasn't quite as big, came down right. A little bit. And as the decision was made, let's go back home to Lowe's. And so we're here again, and it really has a lot of memories go through these halls. We had a good time here as kids running around. But, you know, and the thing is, too, it's open to the public. Yeah. So anybody that's around, you want to make plans to come here and sit through some of the presentations that are going to happen in the next 2 or 3 days. It's a pretty cool thing.
Well, and the presentations, and we'll hit obviously on quite a few of the speakers and some of the, you know, some of the, as I mentioned, Michael Dickinson, you know, some of the exhibitors, and certainly given the atmosphere around the game, Dickinson in the spotlight. We spoke to him it's got to be 5 months ago when that nice mare, right? Is it a mare that emerged? And we obviously used Staquin at Woodbine as as a additional reason to talk to Michael, and then we went into a surface conversation. I'm going to be actually moderating the racing surface session tomorrow afternoon, and looking forward to it. I mean, I've only got, you know, a handful of things to really contribute. It's more, you know, the people that are behind the surface story and the surface issues. But I got a couple of questions, and I'm anxious. And you and I will later talk about what's going on in California with the CHRB news over the weekend of some initiatives that may be floated in the name of safety and well-being, but might also be potentially choking out the entire business in California.
I'm hoping they're just talking points at this point.
We'll see. Dr. Ferraro, who for years, when he was a racetrack practitioner, and he hasn't been for a long time, but as a racetrack practitioner, always seemed to have had a certain bend, and it seems like Governor Newsom is going to try to take advantage of that as part of, you know, the directives. So those kinds of issues obviously are going to begin to take root in our conversations tomorrow and Wednesday. Today, being that it's still Monday and things are just getting going, we've got a lot of weekend recapping to do. And that includes, of course, the terrific stakes action in New York, where Maximum Security effectively clinched any questions about the three-year-old championship with a dominant performance. Another, he just has got a certain style about his wins. He finishes at whatever distance, just the way they drew it up, he and Spun to Run. You didn't need to get creative.
No, he didn't. And let's just, as they say, take the lead and improve your position. And that's what he did, and that's what he seems to have done in most of his races this year.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's too much of an argument out there
championship.
About the three-year-old championship.
I mean, it seems.
Jason has done, I mean, the horse has had a few small problems along the way, and Jason has managed them perfectly. And I didn't see any panic in him at any time. We'll just take a break here, come back here, and he didn't duck anybody. He just did what he had to do. He ran when he was good, and he ended up the year on an up note. I haven't been on a plane in a while. Maybe last week. Maybe it was a bus or something. I don't know. Taking a bus to the hiking place the other day. I was writing down the categories just off the top of my head as far as end of the year awards, and a lot of them are done, right?
It would seem the one that is going to end up being a fascinating debate, and it also figures into the weekend, is the two-year-old boys, and there's real confusion as to what the appropriate direction is going to be. I was at Los Al, had a wonderful time on Saturday at Los Alamitos. The Baffert skein of five straight wins, and he almost got angry because I said to him after the second win, I said, you know, you got a real shot to win five straight. And he says, you're going to jinx me. He says, what do you do? Well, don't say that. And then sure enough, and you know, people are saying, oh, a big deal in this small field, except there, it is a big deal because he wasn't favored in three of the races.
Well, you think Bob Baffert, five in a row, probably done that a million times. I mean, no. And I'll tell you why.
Once.
Why that is such a big deal for trainers like Bob. For him to win five in a row, I mean, what kind of horses does he have? He runs his horses in maiden races, maiden specials, allowances, and stakes. So first of all, there has to be five of those kind of races on a day anyway for him to have a chance. He doesn't run a lot in claimers. So that presented himself the other day. So for him to win five is great. I mean, that's why you don't see these, you know, Shug McGahee. Yeah, he won six one day. Guess what? They were all grade ones. On a Thursday card at Aqueduct, he's not winning six because the opportunity is not there. I mean, that was one of the greatest feats of all time, by the way, him winning six grade ones on Belmont Preview Day, if you remember that. Richard Mandela, he won 4-1 day. Yeah, they were all Breeders' Cup races. So guys like that don't have the kinds of horses that are meant to win a lot of races on a day. So winning five for that is pretty special. And I was telling you the story. I always used to get a little flack about, you make races for Baffert all the time. You make races for Baffert. I said, well, let me get this straight. Maiden special, allowance stake. So I just won't ride any of those kind of races, and that'll be fine. It's like, so every one of those races, he's got horses for. So, yeah, he's going to win those. So to win five in a row, no matter what, where, how, sloppy track, everything. So congratulations to Bob, because it probably won't happen again.
He was genuinely excited to do it. And I said to him, at what point, I guess it was after the allowance win, that filly that came back for the Chews. Susan Chew and her husband were on hand, they came down for all five. Baffert was funny. He said, the Chews are the only owners that showed up today, so they get to be in any picture. And they won an allowance race with that filly Message, who I completely had forgotten about. And then when they had the biggest opportunity with Bast, she holds off in a terrific performance. She holds off Donna Veloce, and really both of those, the Starland and the Futurity, win. Thousand Words over Anno D'Or, that was very similar too. It looked like it. I mean, let's be honest. It felt like the inside was a little better and speed was holding. And of course, it was a wet day too at Los Al. And Baffert, you know, Baffert brought up a great. He'll be with us later. He'll be with us in the third hour, and he's coming here. And I said to him, you know, I was kind of thinking to hold off and have you. I was hoping for him and Todd together to talk some.
Todd will be here as well.
Yeah, they're doing a thing together.
Yeah.
But he said, God, it's nice to come over here, and granted, the weather, tightened the track considerably with the rain, and they had sealed. But he said, even if it doesn't rain at Los Al, they have to keep that track fairly tight because of the quarter horses.
Right.
They cannot make this, 8-inch deep, slog it out surface like they have at Santa Anita. So he said, it's nice to come and have horses get over a track adroitly. I mean, as opposed to, having to plow through it.
Well, let's not forget that Bob has a stable over there, so I can guarantee probably all five of those horses had sometime been over that track. If they hadn't trained there recently, they'd probably been there at some point.
you know, Bast, I thought that the Breeders' Cup horses acquitted themselves quite nicely. I mean, Bast and Dona Veloce, it was crazy that Dona Veloce at 2-5. Why would she be 2-5 and Bast 2-1? It made no sense.
Two-length difference in the Breeders' Cup, and Bast has
at the most. And Bast had run her ass off in
much
the,
more
in
experience
the Breeders'
and
Cup.
Everything else too. So I agree.
And Thousand Words, Flavian Pratt. Here's Thousand Words dueling with High Velocity, the stablemate. And he puts away High Velocity, and they're in the 1-2 path. He starts to edge clear, and he had no idea and no door was coming the way he was. Pratt, to his credit, he's got blinkers on Thousand Words. He brings him out so that he knows that there's a horse. If he doesn't do that, Anno Dore wins this race. I mean, Pratt said to Baffert afterward, he said, you got to cut them back. There's too much blinker. He's a big, goofy horse and a big, long-bodied thing. Thousand Words is serious.
Well, he's the real deal. Most of his are this time of year. Now, we had the blinkers on, blinkers off.
I know, very funny.
The one horse ran in blinkers, he took them off.
Right.
And he was a 35% trainer doing that. Adding the blinkers, I think this made him at 50% like 36 starts, something like that.
And in graded stakes. That gets us to the two-year-olds and Shotsky. We'll talk to Jerry O'Dwyer, who got the win with Shotsky. That was made the day quite enjoyable. And we'll talk about the Empire Six as well. But there was a performance in that Maryland Juvenile Filly Championship. Brittany Trimble Russell, Sheldon and Brittany. Hello, beautiful. 95 buyer, best two-year-old performance of the weekend on Figs. She's going to join us first. We're at Tucson, back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest, we know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet, and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $125 are on them. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K. And you'll get $125 when you wager $500 within your first 30 days. See what I mean? House money just for playing the races you were going to bet anyway. Check out ExpressBet.com for more information. And don't forget to sign up using promo code BYK. B-Y-K to get that $125 bonus. You're going to love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee.
Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states. Open account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
The North American foal crop continues to decline, but not here in Pennsylvania. In 2019, our number of mares bred increased for the third year in a row, this time by 12.5%. Why? Our stallion roster continues to grow. We have the best incentives and bonuses. Plus, there's the stability of our racehorse development fund. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Now it is Christmas time, but if you say you're mine, it would be Christmas every day. Baby, I'm in love with you, and if you love me too, it would be Christmas every day. I wouldn't need a Christmas tree. If you belong to me, it would be Christmas every day. You could give me much cheer all through the year. It would be Christmas every day.
We're back at the races. And there it is, the kickoff to the At the Races Christmas Music Festival. We're going to turn it into a festival between now and the 23rd. And it had to feel like Christmas on Saturday for the Russells. And Brittany and Sheldon combine with Hello Beautiful, a recent Brad Weisbord purchase, Sal Cumin involved, and a host of owners. And this was some performance by the Golden Lad, Philly. And Brittany, I've wanted to reach out to you for quite a while, and back when you were still Trimble, and it's kind of great that we're saving it for this performance. Congratulations!
Thank you. Yeah, it's so cool. It's so exciting. We have a lot to look forward to next year.
Well, let's, before we think about what's down the road for this Philly, let's talk about the formula that contributed to, you know, this kind of a performance. And let's go back, you know, really right to the beginning. I mean, talk about her origins with you.
Well, it was actually this time last year, which is funny because we're actually getting ready as we speak to head over to Timonium to look at some horses. But my friend and partner with Dark Horse Racing, her name's Jody Quinn. We just went over to go find a yearling to have some fun with. You know, we were just looking at the Maryland breds and, you know, just kind of peeking around, seeing what was over there. And, you know, we had mentioned this in the book and things like that. And we pulled her out and we liked her a lot. You know, she's probably my favorite, and not for any, you know, specific reasons, but she was just a smart looking filly. And, you know, it seemed like she had a good head on her shoulders, you know, the normal thing. And we weren't really sure how much she was going for either. So, you know, we also had a couple other horses. So, funny, actually, there was a Bourbon Courage filly that went through before her, and we could have gotten her. She went pretty, she was pretty reasonably priced. But I waited, and we ended up getting this filly for $6,500, which was obviously a bargain, which we didn't know at the time. But we were lucky to grab a hold of her.
Well, a bargain at the time is right. You know, the interesting thing is she's a May foal. And, you know, that part of the equation, you know, she basically, you got her going at the beginning of the year. I mean, was she even physically two on May 10th?
Well, that's a good point. So she was with my best friend up at, actually funny enough, Jonathan Shepherd's farm, which you wouldn't expect them to be able to get a two-year-old ready that early. But, you know, they just kind of had her galloping, and, you know, they worked a couple just easy little quarters up there and things. And, you know, Carrie said to me, you know, this filly, she acts like she could be early. And, I think you should get her in down there and just see what you think. And, you know, if it comes down to it, well, we have to turn her back out again. You know, at least you had her in at the racetrack, and she had that experience, right? So, you know, we did that, and I got her in, and, you know, we did take our time, funny enough. Like, we ran her 4.5 first time, but that, to be fair, wasn't by design. We didn't want to have her cranked up to being a 4.5 horse, but she was actually working so good in the morning, and it's like, well, you just keep working them and working them and working them. So we thought, let's take her over to Pimlico and just give her that experience. And so then just did just that day, you know, he broke her out of there, and you know, kind of just got involved enough, and she took a little dirt, passed a couple horses, and you know, she enjoyed herself. It was a good experience for her, and that kind of was the goal with every race for her, to kind of, you know, develop her the right way.
She's from there. You tried her on the turf, and she ran okay. You know, got beat, but you know, certainly improved. Then the interesting thing about this is you dropped her back in. You had started her for maiden 40, and you know, with a $6,500 purchase, you can understand that. Then you dropped her back in after the improved effort, even on the turf. You dropped her back in, still going short, 5.5. And, you know, she really, you know, ran the breakthrough race there, 73 buyer. And at that point, you had to feel like you know, had something special.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, we always liked her. And you realize, too, with the maiden sorties in Maryland, the Maryland breads don't run for the tag. So it's like a maiden special aid.
Right, it's a waiver. That's true.
Yeah, so you know, that's kind of a no brainer, really. It's a no brainer, especially when you don't pay a lot of money for them. You're just kind of dodging some of those really hard hitters sometimes, and it's a great race for Maryland breds. And to be honest, we kind of those early maiden races, we kind of sometimes had to just go with what race was going that week. Like if you were planning on running, we may have tried to run a couple of times and the race didn't go. I did want to try her on the turf. I always personally thought she was better on the grass, but you don't know all the time unless you give it a go. And she said she can handle it, but fortunately, it looks like we have a pretty good dirt center.
Well, and off of that maiden win, the breakthrough, you put her back on the grass in an allowance, and she just got beat, and maybe. I mean, maybe to some degree. I mean, if she had won that grass race, would you have stayed on grass, or were you going to run in the Maryland Million anyway?
You know, the Maryland Million was the goal. So when we got the private deal done with Brad and Liz Crowe, Brad Wiseboard and Liz Crowe, that was sort of the, goal anyway. It was the Maryland Million, because at least, she had the restricted horses, and she wasn't made me to do it. So, why wouldn't you try it out for $100,000? The reason we sort of actually ran in that grass race after the maiden score was, we needed a prep. Like, we needed a race before the Maryland Million, but I entered it quite a few times on the dirt, and they weren't going. So, we came to that point where, okay, well, she ran good enough on the grass. Let's give it a go. And she just got nailed that day. And, that filly came back and won a race, too. So, form holds.
That's right.
So, even though in defeat, it was a great setup for the next two races.
Well, the Maryland Million victory, then the opportunity to basically, stay in restricted company, add another furlong and stretch her to seven. But what was the hint that you were going to get a blowout like this and basically, run as good a race as a two-year-old filly has run anywhere in the country this year?
Well, that's what kind of all the anticipation was. She ran great in the Maryland Million, and she wasn't falling down at the end. So, we thought seven furlongs shouldn't be an issue. She trains in the morning, like it shouldn't be an issue. She works the right way all the time. So, you had to give it a try. And but the performance she had on Saturday, that was, you don't really expect them to ever run that good, I think. But, it was pretty special. We weren't necessarily expecting that. I mean, she's fast, but you always wonder how far they can go, and you don't know until you try. You don't know how the race sets up. I mean, Miss Jay McKay was behind her, and she's that fast, silly. She had a great year on the turf, and her work had suggested that she would run good on the dirt, and I think just. Yeah, we ran it that day. So, it was nice to see that she was the best that day.
Well, let's fold Sheldon into this too. I mean, what did Sheldon say when he came back and you greeted him on the apron?
He always loves it. He really loves this filly. I mean, because obviously, she started as our own, and he knows what I expect, and. Her work tab isn't super flashy, but, that's not the point, because we know she's fast in the morning. It's all kind of about maintenance and getting her to do things the right way. So he does all her work in the morning, and, I'm always like, come back to the bar and give him the, how was it? He says, trust me, she's great. She's big. We got her right. And he's always really, really confident with her. So it's just, I agree to him. He's like, I told you, he was a bit surprised, I think, as well. I mean, he stung her once or twice just to make sure, they weren't going to get to her. And that's when she really exploded, she definitely, he was kind of just wrapped up on her there that last bit. But, it just goes to show that she's special.
Hi. Rick Hammerly's with us too, Brittany. Here's Rick.
Hi, Brittany. Congratulations. I happened to catch that race the other day as I was going through a few things, and I remember went, who's that? Wow. And so, yeah, Some of the, you know, some races, yeah, horse won by 11, but for some reason that one had the wow factor to it. So congratulations on that. I wanted to ask you one quick question. You went back a little bit when you said, we're talking about some of the incentives or a little bit of a what you get for being a Maryland bred there. And I know every state does certain things for the state bred and the program in Maryland, I know, has always been one of the best. What are some of the advantages you get in Maryland for having a Maryland bred, let's say when you're running, not in just the Maryland restricted races, but in some of the open races? Do you get a little bit of a break there, or some races maybe don't count in the conditions and things like that?
Well, it's actually funny you say that, yes, and it really reminds me of people of this, but she's actually so eligible for an allowance race because those are two restricted Maryland races that she won.
That's right.
So, you know, some off of vacation, you know, hopefully, you know, we can use that as an open allowance race as a stepping stone, you know, for what we plan on doing with her next year. So that's good, you know, when those races play out. It's a bonus, and I'm gonna say 40%. But as I'm sitting here thinking, I'm trying to remember if I have it wrong. You get 40% on top of the purse. So, you know, if you're running for, you know, whatever purse you're running for, on, you know, and then you get that bonus on top, it's a huge incentive. So it is. It really does benefit to be a Maryland, you know, the Maryland bred.
And that's that condition that you're talking about when you go into the next allowance, when we call open, when we say open condition, we mean everybody's eligible, not just certain horses. And a lot of states have done that now, and it's wonderful. So, you know, hey, it gives you an incentive to breed locally, and then when you run against some of the open, you get a little bit of a break.
Absolutely. And there's been, you know, and the money is always helps when you're with your clients. It's always nice to have that.
Well, and you know, speaking of just the whole atmosphere down there and the breeding, it's very notable who was involved in distilling this filly down. And Ellen Charles, really the first lady of Maryland racing, Hillwood, and I think Rodney Jenkins probably not too pleased that this one went to the breeding side, went to the sales side, but the filly that she's out of, Hello Now, Mrs. Bryant,
Anita Bryant.
Not Anita Bryant. Who had the horses with the had the, she does a lot of jumping, and had the horse with Jimmy Jerkins, the nice from the
Sorry,
Travers.
I'm trying.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm embarrassed. Yeah. But and then before that, the third dam, Hello Liberty. That was a Larry Jones that Brary Jones bred. So this thing has got all kinds of top line breeders involved, and a golden lad out of the Tisnow mare, Hello Now. And you know, there were a lot of, Hello Liberty was a serious 7/8 kind of a sprinter. You're hinting at next year, and obviously you're going to give her a little freshening. She's raced a lot for a May foal. Talk about what kind of plans you've got and how much opportunity you'll take to try to stretch her out.
You know, I've talked to the ownership group, and I think we're going to start the year and just kind of, you know, do the right thing here and just kind of keep her sprinting, because she, you know, she seems like that's definitely, we don't want to change things up too much with her when it's working. And, you know, you'd hate to try and stretch her out too soon and, you know, have her go the wrong way. So, you know, the path that we've taken with her sprinting, you know, hopefully there's, you know, some three-year-old, there's definitely some three-year-old sprinting races that we're going to consider, you know, maybe we'll have her ready like May, June, we'll see. We'll just let her do the talking and let her tell us.
Well, a lot to be excited about, and not only do you have the juvenile filly, you got the baby too, and pretty special being interviewed. It was a real family affair, I thought, Brittany, on Saturday with the baby and you and Sheldon.
Yeah, Oh, it was so cool. It's just nice. We love this game. We love these horses, and it's really nice.
VE Day is who I was thinking of with Mrs. Bryant.
I
don't know why it took so long to come up with it. But talk quickly about yourself too, and about your transition. I hinted about Brittany Trimble, who a lot of people saw, and you win at a very nice percentage. You pick spots carefully, and you've done that right from the start. Talk about your background a little bit.
I worked with some really good trainers through the circuit. I spent some time all over Churchill, Florida. I spent some winters at Oaklawn with Brad Cox, and then I actually. So the kind of turning point for me was when Brad sent me up to New York with a string when he first kind of emerged up there, Brad Cox. And that was sort of the jump, I think, that made me realize I want to train. Brad's great. He turned me loose. He taught me a lot. And, I think that's, you see Brad wins at a high percent, and he does a great job. He takes great care of his horses, and he was definitely my, biggest mentor. I also work for Jimmy Durkins, who is one of the best horsemen around. So, you take everything, take a little bit from everyone that you work for and try and spend it in your own way and hope it works.
Well, it's working, and it's working well. And this circumstance, you mentioned Liz Crow and Brad Weisbord, bringing aboard some of the owners that they shop horses for, and that is another different kind of an opportunity. And obviously, Brittany, a lot of excitement with this horse and with now a family with you and Sheldon. First baby's first Christmas, first stake win, and the graded stake win won't be far behind either. You're headed to the sale, and we should tell everybody, of course, tomorrow at Timonium, the mixed sale as the selling season winds down. Hope to find another $6,500 Hello Beautiful.
Yeah, easier said than done, right?
not apparently. Apparently not.
Timonium is the home for great bargains in racing.
Yeah, the 2-year-old sale.
No, it's a great place.
Brittany, thank you so much, and we expect we'll talk to you in the new year. Merry Christmas to you and Sheldon and the baby and everybody on the shed row.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great day.
Brittany
Russell and she and Sheldon. And this was some effort. It's funny. I went to look up Maggie Bryant, and it was nice to meet her, actually, at Saratoga that day when she won the Travers with VE Day. But actually, she owned that second dam. But Jane Lyon actually bred Hello Now, and Bryant bought that one. So the breeders of the last three, Ellen Charles, Jane Lyon, and Brary Jones, and that's a powerhouse trio. And since we bring up Jane Lyon, the nice maiden winner at 9-1 for Bill Mott that started that Empire 6 on Saturday. And that was certainly a horse that could... You looked at that sequence, and
what did that end up paying?
$6,000, and that was the right number. It took in $3 million. There was a nice edge for players, and that was a tough start. I mean, because to me, Moon Over Miami was the horse, and that's the Malibu Moon out of Zinze, the Jane Lyon bred and kept Summer Wind.
Well, Bill Mott is.
Mott's hot right now.
Changed his game in the maiden category. He pops early.
He's winning with the young horses. Lake Avenue, we'll get to the Demoiselle discussion, because the jocks, to let her get away the way they did was, inexplicable. Not that she, didn't run a very nice race, Lake Avenue. That, of course, for Godolphin. Godolphin won three stakes, I think, between Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Because Pixelate won the Central Park for Stidham, and there was another. And Alpetrani won one. Jerry O'Dwyer, though, next to talk about the Remsen win.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
At the track or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's B-Y-K, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K to get your $125 bonus. Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I know you miss it, so I want to get to know you. This Christmas, and as you trim the tree, how much fun it's going to be.
We're back at the races. We're back at Lowe's Ventana Canyon Ranch. It took me, I think, at least three symposiums to be able to get the name to. It still didn't exactly flow off the tongue.
Lowe's Ventana?
Yeah, I think first it was Ventana, Lowe's Canyon, then
the ranch.
The Rancho de
Ventana. There is a ranch, the Flying V Ranch behind here, where if you want to go, you know, ride a few horses up in the hills, you can. But this isn't, it's called Lowe's Ventana Canyon Resort.
Yeah.
Not ranch.
A ranch. Oh, okay.
Just because
so
you're
I still
just
got it
Just because
wrong.
You see cactus outside doesn't mean you're on a ranch.
I guess that's true. I always say it every year. It's like a moonscape when you land in Phoenix and then you drive down here.
Well, it's pretty wild down here, the landscape anyway, because of the saguaros, and it's just one of the what's the only place in the world where there's an area here. I don't know exactly what the square miles is, you know, 100 square miles or something like that where the saguaros are. They're not anywhere outside this area. And
the saguaros being?
The cactus.
Is that the certain style of cactus?
Yeah. The ones that go straight up with the arms like this.
Yeah. Okay.
So they've been here. So on the hiking trail yesterday, hiking, and of course, and they're all over. So when you get to the top of the mountain, you look down and you just see the saguaros on the side of the hill.
It's very cool.
Pictures don't do it justice, but got officially. So they grow straight up, and then they grow an arm.
Oh, that,
you know how long you know how long it takes for them to grow their first arm?
15 years.
75.
75?
So they don't grow that first arm until they're between 75 and 100, and then they come out. And so they live to 200 years old. Little history
lesson. How about
that? And so they've been here a long time, and guess what? Don't be caught chopping one of those babies.
Oh, God, I can imagine. Well, how many starts did it take for Jerry O'Dwyer to win his first graded stake?
Seven.
Well, that's a little aggressive. About 410, maybe. Jerry O'Dwyer joins us. Congratulations on the Remsen win, Jerry.
Thank you very much, Steve. Appreciate it.
Shotsky, and we talked about Shotsky a lot and the whole week because it seemed immediately when you bypassed the race at Churchill, the Kentucky Jockey Club, that this was a better spot for a few different reasons, including his breeding and his ability to go 9 furlongs. But, you know, talk about Shotsky's development, first of all, and how you got to where, you know, where he is.
Well, so we got him, a good friend of mine, Joe Brocklebank, took me out to a farm to look at a few 2-year-olds that were actually scheduled to be in the April 2-year-old in training sale. We were down there in March, so he took me on out to this farm, and I saw a few, and Shotsky was the one that I really liked straight away. So I went ahead and tried to get a deal together to buy him before he went to the 2-year-old sale. For a couple of reasons. A, if he went to the 2-year-old sale in April and freeze lights out, we put him at a fortune. And if he breathed moderately, I might not have wanted him then. But I really like the horse, and by him not going to the 2-year-old sale, you know, he didn't have to be pushed on in the first place. So we were able to buy him before he was ready and cranked up to go to the sale. And able to bring him along at our own steady pace, because he's a big horse, nice solid horse, never going to be a real early type, but just a lovely horse that you know is going to develop into a nice two-turn horse. So we got to bring him along at our own pace, and so far it's paid off.
Who was involved in the purchase? Who were the partners right at the beginning?
So Blue River Investment Partnership is a group of guys out in Colorado. Mike Carty owns Howling Pigeon Farm, and he put the partnership together out there with some of his skiing buddies. Hence how he got his name, Shotsky. It's, I'm sure a lot of people have Googled it and know what it is, but it's like a ski board with like shot glasses glued to it or something, and everybody's going to take a shot at the same time.
It's a multiple.
That's great.
You have an option of having many friends do the shots at the same time. It's pretty good. You Google it. You can put it on YouTube. You can see.
That's hysterical.
You can see that.
Yeah, it's fun, you know, and it's pretty cool.
Did you have one in the winner? Did you have one in the winner circle there, Jared?
No. We'll try to do that for the next day. I have everybody lined up there, you know.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you started him. It sort of explains a little bit about why you started him at Kentucky Downs, because 6.5 there, you know, on that rambling course, you know, that's kind of a different way to, you know, debut a horse. And he just sort of went around and trailed. A good horse came out of that race, Art Collector. Then you got down to business and he breaks his maiden going 6 on the dirt. 4 weeks later at Laurel, and that's where things started to really pick up.
Yeah. But look, Kentucky Downs, it only comes around once a year. I ran 2 horses down there that I thought had a bit of ability. The race, Kentucky Downs probably came, you know, 3 weeks too soon for me, the stage I had them at. But I felt Jockey was a nice horse. I was like, well, look, let's just take him down there and see how he gets on. It'll be an experience for him anyway. And come out of it, hopefully he comes out of it good, and if he gets a piece of it, great. But that was really the thinking, you know. It only comes around once a year. The names are like 130,000. If you've got a horse that's pretty nice, you let him take their shot.
Well, you know, Jerry, I worked that meet for the first time this year, and I'll tell you what, we're finding out now as we get further and further away from that meet, a lot of good horses ran there this year, and I'm going to see that more and more. And obviously for the maidens that are, you're running for 130,000 to break your maiden, you're going to start seeing more and more horses. And obviously you're some of the proof of that. But the quality has just gone up amazingly there over the last 3, 4, 5 years, and went from that just a little, hey, let's put some fences up in the field and run around it, and now it's turned into be a major, major, major meet, and yet next year it's even going to be better. But you're part of the proof of the horses that have come out of that meet already this year.
Yeah, no, it is like wherever there's good money available, there's going to be good horses. There's no getting away from it. A lot of those, you know, other trainers have multiple names. They're trying to separate them all, and they're going to have a horse for every maiden around the country.
Well, you go back to Laurel, and we just got off the phone, by the way, with Brittany Russell. And it sounds like it didn't even occur to me that I was going to have, you know, two back-to-back, two Maryland-based conversations. But it sounds like you're on your way to Timonium.
Yes, I'm on my way to Timonium here right now.
Exactly. She's leaving now. She said, I'll wait till after we talk to leave. You went on the road after that maiden win, and you tried the street sense. Get into that conversation, because that, you know, that's a one turn mile, so you stretched him out, but still at one turn. Talk about the thinking that went into it, and then after you ran a very good fourth there, beating a couple, and obviously Silver Prospector came out of that race, you then considered the Kentucky Jockey Club. Talk about everything that went on after the maiden race and up until last week when you bypassed the return trip to Churchill.
So after he came back from Kentucky Downs, he started to wake up. You know, the light bulb went on. He knew what the game was getting to be about. And I did actually try interim a couple of times at Churchill in a one-turn mile maiden, but they didn't get it to fill. So I was like, okay, we'll run him six at Laurel. It was the only spot suitable. And Sheldon, Brittany's husband, he rode him. And, I told him, I said, look, this is probably a bit short for him. I said, get him to break cleanly and keep him as close as you can, because he won't stop on you. He's a pretty laid-back horse with talent, so you just have to keep him on his job. And Sheldon gave him a lovely ride and did everything good, and he won well. And the phone started ringing, people wanted to buy him. And I'm so glad that the people who bought into him now bought him, because they also bought new supervision from us. And left her in training with us, and they left him in training with me. And, you know, these good horses, they don't come along often. So when you do get a hold of one, you know, getting money for him is great, but keeping the horse is even better. Because it's a career. And we do it because we want the good horses. Well, that's what I do it for. I want the good horses and be able to develop them, bring them along, and get to the next level. So after when he's maiden, the people bought into them, and then I discussed with them where they think they would like to go, and they give me options and suggestions, and then we work great together. You know, we bounce ideas off each other, and no matter where we go, then we're always going there happy that we think we've made the right decision. You know, nobody is saying, well, I told you should have went here or you should have went there, but we always come to a nice, happy arrangement. Try your best and foremost by the horse, and then you're trying to do your best for the owners to recoup their investment. So that's why we went to the streets, and I felt he was training good and dipping his toe, you know, in against those better horses to see if he is as good as I thought he might be.
But
we went
much
down there, and he ran a hell of a good race.
in the street sense. And yes. he basically stayed close to the pace, and it seemed like it was really an opportunity or at least a demonstration that I'm sure what you thought all along about him being a two-turn horse, blame out of the bluegrass cat mare, she cat. The way he ran, it sort of just said that the one-turn mile, it didn't really take advantage of him, and it just seemed to me, and that's why when you came and bypassed the Churchill and we're going to stretch out to the 9 furlongs. It's why we talked about Shotsky all week. I mean, that he was going to be, I thought, so much better suited to the mile in the eighth. The Remsen is really the only opportunity for two-year-olds and the Demoiselle for them to go 9 furlongs at this time of year. So this just seemed like the right spot.
It did, and it was at the end. You know, we did have him entered into Jockey Club. We said we'll enter, see who else is in there, see how the track is going to be. But then, like, when it was like much the same horses that he ran against in the street since, with a couple of other new shooters in there that had a bit of form as well. So if we didn't have any of the option, if the Remsen wasn't around the corner, I'm sure we'd have taken our chance in the Jockey Club. But it as well, when all that weather was bad rain with forecast, it made sense to skip it and go a bit closer to home, just like 3.5 hours up the road, the aqueduct, over a track and distance that I thought he'd be suited for. So we did that, and it paid off.
Talk about the race itself, what the strategy was involved, and you know, I thought that Luis Saez was a nice addition, not to take away from Sheldon, who was obviously staying home for good reason when it comes to what he did on Saturday, back at Laurel. But Saez on this type of horse, you know, to nurse a lead, talk about that opportunity and what the, you know, what the plan was going in.
Yeah, so we, at home, we prepared for every scenario. These last three, I briefed two horses in front of him. He steadied behind him, taking dirt for 5 furlongs, and then he just galloped out by him on the gallop out. So we were prepared for every situation. And Sheldon felt that he was nice in behind, and he even traveled really strong in behind. So I was happy to hear that as well, that he didn't mind being in behind horses. He traveled sweetly and good. But then as the... when the entries came out and we went through the race, spoke to Adam Wachtel and the other owners, and said, like, there's not seems to be a lot of pace in here. And we're like, well, what do you think if he is on the lead? And I said, it won't bother him because of his whole demeanor and attitude. He's a very laid-back horse. He'd go to the lead there and just do exactly what you want him to do. And when horses come to him, he wakes up and goes on with it. Like, he'd have went down there and, like, 26 for the first quarter if they let him. He's just one of those. He's not aggressive, but he is aggressive in when horses pump him and you ask him. His attitude is the attitude of a nice horse. Because he's there when you want him and he relaxes and you leave him alone. So look, our tactics were just to let him bounce out. If there's no pace and you're at the front end, that's fine. Just do your own thing. I didn't tie a lot. Luis Saez to too many instructions because, you know, he's a class rider and sometimes you can overcomplicate things. But we just said, look, see how you break. If you're in front, that's fine. Ride your own race. If something wants to go on, he'll settle in there behind him fine. But that was it. It was totally up to Luis that once he broke. And he rode a perfect race and he said the horse did everything he ever asked for. You know, see him before he's corner for home, he's like, looks like he's niggling on him a little bit, but that's the other one thing I said to him. I said he's very relaxed horse. Don't expect him to, you know, go all of a sudden. You might have to just let him know that you want to go here now soon. Give him a little niggle first. But once you do, he engages and goes on for you.
Well, it looked like, Jerry, that Louis took advantage of the way the track was playing a little bit later on in the day and decided to go on, and obviously turned out to be the right thing. You know, you mentioned your owners, the Wattel Barber Group. I mean, they must be kind of cool to train for in the sense on my end as a racing guy, they like to run. You know, they want to participate, and rather than, you know, I'm glad to hear, and I've heard this before, you know, they talk with you a little bit. It's like, where are we going to run, not where are we not going to run? And so whenever I see them and I see Gary and the partners of groups that they have together, I always think that, you know what, I'm sure they're, you know, great to have because they want to run. So congratulations, and they like to spread the wealth a little bit too.
They do. I mean, I'm very fortunate. You know, they took a chance on me earlier this year, or actually last year, after any supervision was allowed with Churchill. You know, they took a chance and they leave her with me. You know, at first of all, they didn't know me, so it was like, we'll leave her with you for, you know, two or three runs and see how we go. And, I mean, we've had success. They never even mentioned of ever taking her away from me. They let me do everything right by her. We give her the time off if she needed it. We got her back. She won. We took a chance running her back a week later in the grade three, just to come up with a small field. Adam Waka, like we owned the other, the winner, the dual grade one winner. So we were hoping that we'd get into the money, and she finished fourth, only beating like an extra third. So we were happy with our performance, and we took a chance. You know, they like to run. They're not afraid to take chances. And at the same time, the horse does look first. They never pressure me into running a horse if I'm not comfortable, which takes a lot of pressure off the trainer. You know, if the owner says, well, you know, if you're 100% happy to go here, we'll go there. If you're not, there's always the next day. And that's unbelievable. They have a lot of money invested in the game, but the horse comes first with them, which is what you want. Every trainer wants to... owner says the horse has to come first.
How much concern after they ran the Demoiselle and the jocks took back and let more or less let Lake Avenue dictate? Were you concerned? I certainly was, having bet Shotsky and you know, been excited for the opportunity, and plenty of people did. He got bet down to. At one point, he was as low as 6-1 before floating back up. But were you concerned that the jocks would be that much more aggressive and go after him? If that was going to be the way things unfolded, I thought there was a chance that there was going to be more pace in the Remsen because of how little it turned out to be in the Demoiselle.
Look, I wasn't really concerned because I said the horse is very adaptable. Like, I just told Louise that, feel your break, I'd love to see him in the first two or three. So I didn't mean he had to be on the lead, but I did want him kind of close to the pace, just in case he wasn't on the lead and the pace was slow. If you're close enough, then it's good enough. But I wasn't too concerned because, like I said, the horse is very adaptable. He could be in behind, he could be on the lead, he could be in the clear.
Right. Well, the only challenge, after he turned away that Prince James about a half mile, maybe 5/8 in, and Franco was, was probing and stayed in pretty close proximity. Chase Tracker came as well. And, then late, Aja Weed started to make up significant ground. Rosario was looming. And Louis at that point, had to, really persevere late. How concerned were you when Rosario came calling?
Well, you always get a little bit of a fright when you see someone making up that ground. But to be fair, like, Louise, I think he only hit a three smack. You know, he's a very strong finisher, Louise. He just hand-rode him, gave him a couple of gentle reminders. But I think Louise is still pretty confident, that he's going to hold him the whole way to the line. You know, there is some comments there that Ajuri galloped out past him. But, I mean, he got his head in front of him, and then they both really galloped out together. Shotsky, he pulled away clear, and then he was, on his own for... 1/16 of a mile before Adam started to come near him again. And he blinkers on, so you don't hear or see that horse until it gets very close to you. The one thing my horse does is, he gets into a battle, he will battle for you, as he showed in the recent. He was at a wide sprint, he looked to be beat, turning for home, and he just kept digging on in there and fighting, proving he's worth the whole way to the line.
Well, he wins by a diminishing half, and your first graded stake win. Jerry, what's the plan here? Probably wait for the, obviously, for, you know, some of the first opportunities back at Aqueduct. You got, you know, the Jerome Withers, et cetera. You're going to keep him? You're going to keep him in the Northeast?
So we're open to options still, because I do have some horses down at the fairgrounds. The Lacom could be an option. Jerome, I doubt it. I'm just running back a bit quick. So I reckon he's next starting leader be the Lacom at the fairgrounds, or else the Withers back at Aqueduct.
Nice.
You know, but we're going to let the horse decide for us, see how he's playing along. It gives us 6 weeks. You know, 6 to 8 weeks, I'd say, before he runs back next. But look, we're going to discuss it with the owners, see how he's training. But I think I would like to run him back any time before the Silicon or the Wizard.
Very nice. this is a fun situation to you know, have a two-year-old breakthrough like this, and does it right on time, gets a nice next step from a figure standpoint, 91 buyer, and a lot to build on from here.
Yeah, no, it is. It is exciting, you know, having decisions to make with good horses. You know, there are good decisions to have to make. Just making a plan and trying to get the horse that he can progress at the right time. Look, where he's going to end up, I don't know, but I don't feel we've got to the bottom of him yet. I just looked at him there this morning, standing up. He just has a lovely frame that he still hasn't fully filled into yet. He's just going to be a lovely three-year-old, and I'm really going to look forward to that. And still reminiscing there about the Remsen, just how great he was, brave. You know, it's a long way to go for a two-year-old at the front end like that, going a mile and an eighth, and, you know,
yep.
Can get a little lonely out there in front, so I was very proud of him. And he just responded to every urging of Louise. So, you know, his agent was on to me already. Did nice, and the agent calls me and say, well, let me know where you're going next. We'd like to stay on him. So, you know, I felt bad for Sheldon not being able to go up and ride him. But, you know, he had a three-day win, 2 stakes, a Laurel, right to the wife, real good filly. you know, and we're all good friends. We're all congratulating each other. I talked to Brittany and Sheldon when on the way home. And, you know, we're all just happy for each other. We're, you know, young teams trying to break through in this difficult sport to get to the top. And we're both very lucky that we all have some nice hearts in the barn. And we're very happy for each other, you know. We support each other and want each other to do well. I think that's what this game is all about. It's great, you know. So many people can be jealous about other people, but I mean, there's enough to go around for everybody. What you got to do is work at it, be honest with people, help who you can.
Well, the game needs more people like you and Brittany, who we talked to, Jared. Seriously, you got the right idea, and glad you made the graded stakes list. And I gotta say, remember the three-year-old program at Oaklawn? We give away more money there.
Holy cow!
Hey, so you've got a friendly face. I'll be down there.
Unbelievable!
$2 million race to $750. Opening day is January 24th. Smarty Jones.
There you go. That's another spot down there as well, but.
I'll send you the Hammer's contact so that you can have a ready stall to ship into Oaklawn from Fairgrounds when you need to. Jerry, you mentioned need supervision, and it's funny because I told the story a couple of times last week how after Gary Barber won with Got Stormy. I sent him a congratulations, and he wrote back, did you see Need Supervision win the Safely Kept? I'm like, oh, my God, you won the Matriarch, and he's just as excited about Need Supervision. So I don't blame you for taking that shot. And, in fact, I thought from the inside that she might get a really cozy trip to get up in behind Spiced Perfection, and especially when they had the opening quarter was surprisingly slow, but she didn't get in good position early, really, and it made it hard late.
Yeah, it's just that slow pace, I think, you know, was really difficult, because those are good fillies. You know, when they're running for home, you've got to quicken to get to home, and then you got to quicken to get by them. It's very difficult against that class of filly unless you're much the best. And, you know, she was on a par with them, and I wouldn't be afraid to run back against most of those fillies again under a different scenario, a more truly run race. Not very often you see those a grade one winner go 24 and change for the first quarter. You know, that usually doesn't happen. But it happened this time, and like I said, I'm very proud of her. She came back safe and sound. Looked great there this morning. So we'll make a plan for her. We're going to give her a little freshening up now because she ran back twice within a week and did us proud both times.
Well, Jerry, obviously a big winter ahead with the Remsen winner, Shotsky, the Blame Colt, and so many other opportunities. You're leaving some horses in Laurel, no? For the winter?
Yes, I am. I have about 20, 25 there for the winter. I've only like four down at the fairgrounds right now. I'll, you know, send a few more down there. I'm heading over this morning. I'm here now to see if we can pick up, send a few back to Laurel and a few down to the fairgrounds. It'll be nice, but we'll see what we can get.
Well, I got to ask you, because you've got a New York bred that you're running at Penn National on Wednesday over the Hillary, a McLean's Music out of the blue, another bluegrass cat mare, Not Now Hillary. Why is this filly in Penn, at Penn instead of at Aqueduct?
I want to get her an easier spot and try to get her to break her maiden. She's
there
been, you go. Okay, a couple of times. Lovely being filly. I'm just hoping that she'll develop and improve with a little bit more time. I just want to get her an easier opportunity, and I think it's easier to go to Penn than go up to Aqueduct.
No, fair enough. She's in the first race, and she's the second choice, 7-2, the six, over the Hillary at Penn National on Wednesday. And keep an eye on Jerry O'Dwyer in any... anywhere that he's going to turn up. Jerry, very pleased for you and Adam Wachtel and Gary Barber and the whole team involved here. It looks like it's going to be a fun ride in 2020.
It sure will. We're looking forward to it.
Jerry O'Dwyer,
thank
everybody.
Way to go, Jerry. Siri, keep it up.
Thanks a million. Bye for now.
You got it. Happy New Year, and or actually, I got to say Happy Christmas to the lad. Right?
Merry Christmas.
No,
Merry
not
Christmas.
not to an O'Dwyer.
Happy
you're not going to say.
You know,
come on. We should have played some pokes for him.
Have a little toddy. That's what you say.
I'm sure there was.
There you go. A bit of Shandling.
That a boy.
Go get a Shotsky and have some friends over. That's what you need to do. Check it out on YouTube. You'll get some hints on how to operate.
Very
that thing.
Funny. Thanks, Jerry. Jerry O'Dwyer, everybody. We'll take a break here, top of the hour, or a little past. We got Johnny D. We'll get to Johnny shortly, but we've got a visit with Wendy Davis. We got the opportunity to get Wendy in here with Hammer, and we'll do a little bit of an introduction from Wendy. We also have to pay tribute to Liz Bracken, and that'll be tough as well. But let's take a little more like a 15-minute break and have a visit with Wendy. When we come back, the University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program Symposium on Racing and Gaming. We're live in Tucson. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through HorseBills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the HorseBills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. HorseBills.com. Toll-free number 888-9888.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the song on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Man, what's the matter with you? Don't you know it's Christmas?
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Okay.